With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Latest on the Texans and the Patriots and the tampering situation is that it's in the same holding pattern that it's been in since the news was announced about 24 hours ago. So if anything breaks along those lines, we will let you know. But according to Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network, the Texans are digging in on their pursuit of Nick Caserio. According to Ben Volen, who was on In the Loop earlier today, he covers the Patriots for the Boston Globe. He predicts that Nick Caserio will eventually be the next general manager for the Houston Texans. We'll circle back to all of that at the top of the hour, but let's drop in a little actual football as well, both on the field and contractually. J.J. Watt was meeting with the media a little bit earlier this week and was asked, how can you get better than you were in 2018?
Not coming off of a major injury is going to be a big help. I mean, having an offseason to work and grow and get better. And I mean, I'm always looking at the film, whether it's a run game, pass rush, whatever it may be, sacks you may have missed and balls you could bat. So just trying to make as many plays as I can, help the team win.
That's the thing, one of the things that has me excited about this year, and I think I'm on the record as not being as bullish on this year as some, because their over-under's 8.5 wins. I have them going 8-8 this year. I hope I'm wrong. But one of the things that has me enthused, if you're asking me a reason why I think they may go better than 8-8, Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt this time last year were putting videos up where the two of them, maybe not this time last year because it was minicamp and Deshaun was getting ready to do everything, but around this time last year, you know, within a month or two, they're putting up videos of the two of them running around with big elastic bands, dragging weights because they're trying to get their sea legs back. Mm-hmm. You know, J.J. and Deshaun get a normal offseason. Deshaun, for the first time in his NFL career, has a normal offseason heading into a season. That's, if we're trying to put reasons together as to why this season could be better than an 8.5 win season, that absolutely is one of them to me.
Sean, both of those guys bring a great skill set to the game physically, and can, I mean, we all enjoy watching them every Sunday and every now and then a Monday or Thursday when they play. But what those two bring to a team, ultimately, it's probably more, I don't say more important, but as important as their actual skill set physically, is their ability to affect others. Their ability to I guess not force, but influence others to play and work above their ceiling. And in turn, make the Texans team top to bottom, number one to number 99 on the roster, better this time of year right now. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can show up on Sunday and ball and play lights out. I mean, those guys are walking every hell. There's guys that don't have a contract right now that can flat play the game of football on Sunday.
Yeah, who are you talking about?
And so, maybe talking about old Dirty Red over here. You know.
No. Oh, I thought you meant that hadn't signed their franchise tender.
No. I was talking, okay, about, talking about over here to your left.
Oh, gotcha.
But no, I mean, you know, they're at one of the most valuable aspects of what they bring to a team is what they can do if they're on the field with a team. The level of effort and energy and focus and detail that they demand if they're on, just by simply being on the field. And so you talk about them not being there last year, it was a problem. Them being there this year could help this team take a huge leap forward, which they're going to need with this schedule.
Yeah, no question about that. One more from J.J. Watt. He turned 30 in the last few months, but he says the same thing I do about turning 50. It's just a number.
Honestly, I feel better now than I did the last two off seasons. I mean, so you could say 27 felt different than 30 because I feel in a lot better place this off season than I did a couple years ago. So it's just, to me, it's all about how you take care of your body, the routine you follow, and trying to do the most you can to make the most out of your opportunity. And I'm fortunate. I mean, it's pretty crazy that, you know, we try and look at 30 as like old in today's NFL, which is, I mean, it's wild. But I don't feel old. I don't, when I train, I don't train old. I don't lift old. So, no, I feel pretty good, and I'm looking forward to going out there and not playing old.
Yeah, I'm the exact same situation as him. I've been doing yoga lately. Yeah. And it's been elongating my spine and my neck and my back feel a lot better.
You looked a little taller today when I walked in.
Yeah, I'm like a quarter of an inch.
I noticed you had them thong flip-flops on. I was like, damn, I figured you had some high heels on
or
something.
No, it's not Clint. He's serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's really been doing the yoga.
I believe it.
I have. It's been elongating my spine.
And he's been doing DDP yoga.
Yeah, DDP yoga, yeah. So it's the same exact thing. When I listen to JJ and that cut, I'm like, bro, I feel you. I wasn't feeling this good 2 years ago either, and now I'm doing yoga for about 30 minutes a day, and I'm ready to go beat some left tackles.
Every day I say the same.
That'd be beautiful to watch. We'd sell tickets to that, brother.
Guys, every day I say the same thing. Could we possibly have it better in Houston right now than we do? Right? I mean, J.J. Watt was first-team All-Pro last year for the fifth time in his career. And, oh, by the way, if he's first-team All-Pro this year for the sixth time in his career, a new contract is absolutely on the table. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the point I wanted to make about our good fortune, and I was just discussing it with one of our listeners with regard to the Astros in the last break, I mean, and I know we talk about this over and over, how fortunate we are right now to have the three major sports teams in this town be in the position they're in. But you got to understand, from our standpoint, this is the time of year where it's kind of a dead zone for sports talk in June and heading into July. There's not a whole lot going on after the NBA Finals other than Major League Baseball. And the sports gods have deemed and dropped into our laps like manna from heaven, D'Antoni and his contract. Correa on YouTube with Daniela Rodriguez, Brian Game and Gain in New England alleging tampering charges, and now we move into J.J. Watt feeling as good as he's ever felt. Could we possibly have it any better? I'm going to go ahead and predict we're getting Trent Williams. I mean, this feels like the kind of offseason where everything's going our way. By the way, I bought a Powerball ticket this week also.
Okay, all right. Well, let us know how that works out. Are you going to split it with your co-hosts here?
It didn't go well last night, but I bought like five nights of Powerball.
Fair enough. Yeah, no,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, times are good. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, how nuts is the city of Houston if you make a move for Williams and you get Cassario? All in about a two-week span. Yeah. How absolutely nuts would the city be?
I'll tell you what, it probably takes a lot of the people. If you do the overall pie of Texan fans right now, here's just my guess from interacting with people, Twitter, text page, calling this show, around the building, around town, this and that. Is it there's probably about, I would say, maybe a third of Texan fans. When I talk Texan fans, I'm talking people who are fans of the team. But a third that are like, all in on this season. They think they can make a run. They think, you know, it's Deshaun time. It's this. It's blah, blah, blah. There's probably 50% of the pie that is just sort of up in the air, kind of like I am right now. Like, I love the team. I love some of the guys on the team. But I'm feeling like an 8-8 season right now. And then there's that sliver of whatever's left over from the math.
16 and two-thirds.
Okay, thank you. Wow, look at you. So the other 16 and two-thirds percent, that would get, doing what you're talking about, getting Cassario at GM and then getting Trent Williams to be left tackle, would move all of that 16 and two-thirds percent into the 50%, and it would take some of the 50%, probably about half of them, and bump them into that third that I'm talking
at that
about.
Point,
it would spin the wheel of enthusiasm.
This is the real summer of George.
Yeah. At that point,
this is really what it means.
Really, all you have is the O'Brien haters at that point. I mean, you know what I mean? You got guys there's guys out there that just ain't, they're not going to be okay with anything the Texans do, regardless of what happens, until they win a championship ultimately. Yeah. And then O'Brien's going to be enough. I mean, it's. And which, hey, look, he's earned some of the ridicule and some of the, I guess, the dislike across the city. I mean, hell, every athlete and coach you got some that love you, some that hate you. It's part of it. But I think that it would really narrow it down. If you hate anything at that point other than some of the things that O'Brien has been guilty of and maybe your opinion of him not changing, you got some real problems, man.
Yeah, no, nobody's saying it's perfect, but it's as good as it's ever been. I expect the Warriors to win tonight as well, because how could they possibly deny us in the middle of this unprecedented
a game seven?
Right. Yeah. It's just preordained.
Hey, and bringing it back to J.J. Watt, all joking aside, and in no way, shape, or form am I comparing my athletic abilities to J.J. Watt, but when I was 32, 33 years old, I was in the best shape of my life relative to being able to, like, add weight or lose weight or, you know, add strength here. You know, you could just – at that point in time, 32, 33, 34, I was able to do things that I'd never done at a younger age from a body comp standpoint and things like that. So for what that's worth, now I was hanging out on a lake And I was wakeboarding and hanging in a river with my toes up, you know. So that was my workout routine. But ultimately, these athletes, what they're able to do with their body from 30 to 32, 33 should feel as good as they've ever felt.
I truly feel there's a silver lining in those 2 years that JJ lost. That there, while you would not wish the leg injury that he had on anybody, you wouldn't wish the back injuries that he had on anybody. But aside from those two injuries he had to come back from, there's 30-some-odd games of NFL banging that his body didn't have to take, yeah. right, at a high-contact sure. position. So I feel like, look, the leg's repaired now. The back is clearly feeling good. At the end of the day, and you can't go back and turn back time and go relive 2016 and 2017 again. It's water under the bridge. So I'm going to look back at it and go, one of the silver linings from this thing is that maybe J.J. Watt at age 30 is feeling like a 27 or 28-year-old because he didn't take all of that pounding and wear and tear of a full football season. He played basically two and a half, you know, parts of three games and parts of five games.
I'll feel a lot better about what you're asserting in 2 or 3 years from now because he's had one comeback year, and it proved everything about how strong he is.
Yeah.
But I also still want to know if – because those were – very severe injuries.
Sure.
Well, look, did it
take some of the tread off the tire as far as his, you know, might it bring about a shorter, an earlier end to his career than he would have, experienced otherwise? We don't know that yet.
I'm sure he'll never be the same that he was before those, but let's be honest. One thing J.J. Watt was not was cheated at birth. I mean, the physical specimen that dude is, his ability to not just be the athlete that he is, but to maintain the level of as fine-tuned as he is at that position is just extremely rare. I mean, us three, we may have been cheated at birth a little bit. That joker there was not.
Well,
he's not fallen off. Even with the injuries, he's not fallen off.
He was also obviously born into a tremendous family.
Well, thanks, Rich. I appreciate that. My guys in Baytown will appreciate that.
Wait, what are you talking about? I'm talking about J.J. Watt.
Oh, my bad. I thought you were talking about me.
No.
I thought you were talking about Linda Gill again, man. Damn.
Listen, you put me on the spot there. I'm a big fan of Linda Gill. But, no, I'm talking about the Watt family.
I got you.
His mom and dad clearly did a great job raising him. And I know that sounds – there's a sort of corny element to what I just said, but I don't care. Because this guy clearly is of high character, not just high athletic ability, but high character, and that doesn't just happen accidentally.
Hey, man, Rich, if you're trying to get invited to the wedding, you're leaving it all on the floor, and I appreciate that.
Well, open bar, I hear.
Yeah, it's open bar. It's open bar. Back to JJ here. There was a contract that was signed within the last few days. This is what I teased into the segment, so let's get to it. Cameron Jordan from the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
This is a pretty good template because we've talked. I feel like Clowney's contract and Deshaun Watson's inevitable contract get the most attention of any of the big deals that this team is going to have to do. JJ is heading into 2019 with 3 years left on his deal, and he's heading into after this season the 2 years, sort of the 2 years that Dwayne Brown was in when he started to get sideways with the team. Now, I don't think JJ's situation is going to wind up like Dwayne's for a variety of reasons.
Right.
However, JJ, if he keeps playing the way that he is, if he has a 2019 that was like his 2018, and I expect him to be better in 2019, then he's going to be looking at numbers for 2020 and 2021 that would have him underpaid compared to what's out there in the marketplace. And we know the spot that J.J. Watt holds in the hearts, minds of everybody in NRG Stadium and around the city. Cameron Jordan signed with 2 years left on his deal,
right,
signed a three-year, $52.5 million extension with $42 million guaranteed. So about $17 million and change per year over 2021, 2022, and 2023, tacked on to the end of his current deal.
He's essentially got a five-year deal worth $75 million.
When he had 2 years
effectively.
He had 2 years at about $22 or $23 million left.
And for those who don't know, JJ is going to make $13 million this year, $15.5 million, and then $17.5 million the next couple of years if he doesn't get a new deal. There's no way he's not getting a new deal.
No, but let's just figure out what those numbers are going to be because now we're talking about a time when Deshaun Watson is going to be making $30 to $35 million
a year. It's quarterback money is what it is. It's $30 million plus a year.
For Deshaun.
For J.J. Watt.
It's JJ ain't getting $30 million a year.
If Cameron Jordan can get $25 million a year for 5 years, you don't think JJ
Rich, 5 years, $75 million is $15 million a year.
Well, then I can't do math.
Yeah.
15.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll go to 20. So I'll go to 20 then.
Richie Rich.
Okay, well, 17.
This
and
is the usual fare, Clay. You only get exposed to this one day
I know,
a week.
But being bad at math
you,
is one
You're
thing,
welcome,
but 75
Rich.
Divided
Are you
by
me?
Five. Damn,
I
know that ain't 25.
I do some things well. I know that's not one of them.
No, I mean,
$15 million a year.
Yeah, yeah.
So if Cam Jordan can make $15 million a year, then certainly JJ can make 20.
Well, it's the same argument,
but just different numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the last year in his contract, 17 and a half, and we're saying he's underpaid. So neighborhood of 20 is logical. Here, look, the first thing you say is, okay, Cameron Jordan's good, but he's not JJ Watt. However, Cameron Jordan has a couple things going for him here when you make this comparison. He's never missed a game. Like, JJ's missed two seasons.
Right.
Cameron Jordan's never missed a game. They were drafted in the same year. They were drafted about 12 draft spots apart in the first round of the 2011 draft. So they're the same age. Cameron Jordan's never missed a game. He's getting better as he gets older, too. He was first-team All-Pro 2 years ago. First-team, not Pro Bowl, first-team All-Pro 2 years ago. And
I think that's the only time he's been first-team All-Pro in his career. JJ's going on six.
I get it. But if you're doing a contract, the smart thing to do is not reward somebody for what they did in 2012. And J.J. Watt was first-team All-Pro last year.
They're
both good players, no question about that. I want Texan fans to hear this segment and know that we're not talking about some guy who's not completely outside the league of J.J. Watt. This is a guy who's been a really good, productive player for the Saints. So if it's five over 70 or $75 million over five for Cameron Jordan.
Which is 15 a year.
Which is, thank you, Rich.
By it's the 50, way.
I don't know if you know this, Clint.
I wasn't clear on that.
It's $15 million a year. What would you do for J.J. Watt? If after this season, J.J. comes in and says, all right, 2 years left, we got to figure out, I want to finish my career as a Houston Texan, let's get an extension done. What does it look like for J.J. Watt?
Well, I mean, that's the question is how many do you tack on, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Is do you tack on three or do you tack on five?
I think the big question is what do you give him guaranteed money-wise? You know what I mean? Like, that's the big question.
I don't know the exact number, Sean, but it would be the most in the league. I mean, from a downline, let me further that. I don't want to get into the $30 million a year deal, but the most in the league for an interior defensive lineman.
Okay.
I mean, I believe he's, assuming he stays healthy, I would, whatever that number is, wherever that bar is set, he's got to meet it or exceed it for J.J. Watt with everything he brings to your organization.
I think if he's first team all pro again in 2019, they have to make him the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. No?
Ooh.
Boy, Rich, at age 31?
Okay.
I mean, okay.
Coming off two straight first-team All-Pro seasons.
I got it, but there's an...
And I also expect him to be better in 2019 than he was in 2018.
Yeah, boy, that's a tough putt to make him the highest-paid defensive player in football at age 31. And, Rich, you just said it yourself, with two back injuries and a leg injury that we don't know how it's going to manifest itself in his mid-30s.
Aaron Donald's somewhere near $90 million guaranteed.
No, I'm with you on the... And I have a hard time wrapping my head around Aaron Donald. As a former player... I have a hard time wrapping my head around how an interior defensive lineman can be the most valuable player on a defense.
Make the most money.
Make the most money or just be the most valuable player. I just don't see how you can put 11, your best 11 out there and be paying a guy with his hand in the dirt as a three technique or a five technique. I just don't see where you can allot that kind of money to that guy. If you are going to do it, JJ's the one. You know what I mean? If you're going to do it, J.J.'s the one and Aaron Donald's the one. I just can't. I played against some good ones. Now, I told you the guys at Tennessee were big John Henderson and then who was the other
Haynesworth.
That played? Haynesworth.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys were as disruptive, as big a force as you've ever seen on the defensive front. And I was more concerned about Al Wilson and Leonard Little, you know, those kind of guys at linebacker and defensive end and their secondary guys than I was with their down line guys.
Where are the Texans in their pursuit of Nick Caserio as general manager? Ian Rappaport shed some light on it a little earlier today. We'll hear next. You're listening to the Triple Threat.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.